All right, good evening, everyone. As we prepare for Chodesh Nisan and Chag HaPesach HaBan Aleinu L'Tayva, I want to delve deep into the whole subject of HaChodesh HaZalachah, newness. And what newness means in our personal lives when many of us feel stuck in our old ways. There's a pervasive problem which people have, that they are skeptical of themselves and skeptical of their own ability to change. And they fall into the self-acceptance thing. Let me just accept myself. And while self-acceptance is very necessary, Satzal used to say that self-acceptance is even more important than self-esteem. Oftentimes touted self-esteem, he wants to hear more about self-acceptance. We do need self-acceptance, but we don't want a self-acceptance which is imposing glass ceilings upon ourselves and our ability to grow. And this tension between the need to grow, break out of that deep, mucky place we don't want to be, bad midos, and so on, versus self-acceptance, it's not only an oibeh Hashem problem. It's a pervasive human problem. Even we find this those in the pit of despair, suffering with addictions. Famously in the 12-step programs, they recite a serenity prayer where they daven to Hashem, please give me the wisdom to accept what I cannot change, on one hand, and the courage to change what I can change about myself on the other hand, and the serenity to differentiate between the two. Well, to me it seems that the backdrop to Yetzias Mitzrayim, a new calendar system based on the waxing and the waning of the moon, called Chadashim, newness, based on the rebirth of the moon, it's not simply a celestial, astronomical phenomenon, but is really impressing upon us our own ability to change. As we say in Kiddush Levana each month, Teferes, Teferes, Lamusei Vatan, Shehei Masidim L'Chadash Kamaisa, the rebirth of the moon is really symbolizing how man, those born from the womb, will renew themselves and grow. Parenthetically, I'll note you appreciate why, the brilliance of the Nusach, why it describes the renewal of man and its linkage to the renewal of the womb, specifically in terms of Amusei Vatan, those born from the womb. This is because the moon itself is seen very feminine, very maternal sort of imagery. As many Sfarim HaKadoshim note, the sun is the mashpia, it's the source, it first radiates light akin to the masculine seed, and then the moon receives and radiates further. It is in the kapelas, it is a nekeva of sorts, and therefore a birth in a sense is happening. Hence the term for the conception of the moon, Mailet Halavana, conception. Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah speaks about the new moon as Ubra Bein Chineh, as though it's a child. We know a woman's monthly cycle on Vest Yom HaChodesh is seen as correlating to the renewal of the moon. The point is that the biological correlations between the birthing process of man and the Chodesh HaLevana really underlies this Nusach and linkage. Ramas Teferes LaMusei Vatan Shein Asin L'Chadash Kamaisa, because we can be reborn as well, same moon reborn, same physical person, but can we be reborn anew? We could shed our past and everything we thought ourselves to be. And that is why the Chodesh HaLevana is so powerful an icon of Geula, Yetzias Mitzrayim specifically. Because Geula means you could break out of the present. Present Geulas, present wretchedness, which not only refers to physical Geulas, an actual geographical environment called Mitzrayim, but the Geulas HaNefesh, the mucky place we all find ourselves, not the people we want to be. That is the Geulas HaNefesh, in which we can find, from which we can find personal redemption and thereby be renewed. And that is why this is the icon, renewal is really redemption. this correlation is hidden in plain sight, really magnificently, also in our Nusach, in the Birchas HaChodesh, which we say Yishma. Misha Asa Nisim Laviseinu B'Gol HaSamayatnas L'Cheres Hu Yigam L'Son HaBekar. The one who performed redemption from Mitzrayim will redeem us from present day galusim and stresses. That correlation between Yitzias Mitzrayim of old and present redemption is woven specifically into the Nusach of Birchas HaChodesh, the Numah. Right? Certainly drawing upon the HaChodesh HaSalachem, the linkage of old, between the renewal of the moon and redemption, and pivoting forward that once again, the new moon and Chesh HaLavana is going to inspire redemption amongst all of us. So I really want to tease or delve deeply into this whole issue of Chiddush in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, newness, breaking out of what everything we thought ourselves to be and all glass ceilings we thought were imposed upon us. And see how really it brings to, this motif brings together many themes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. For example, Nisan, supernatural miracles, a defining characteristic of Yetzias Mitzrayim and really of the month of Nisan. Nisan, Milash, and Nisan, as the Sfarim say. Let's understand that the supernatural feats of Yetzias Mitzrayim are not only a revelation of the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yidatam ki ani Hashem, but also serve as an icon of the for personal geula as well. The fact that nature can be broken impresses upon us that we can break out of our own teva too and find redemption. And this is why the relationship between nature and the supernatural figures so large in the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. Let's develop it a bit. In the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when Hashem says he's switching his name or his mode of revelation from Kel Shakai to Yud Kei Vav Kei, one of the meanings, as noted by the Ramban B'Shem the Ibn Ezra, is Kel Shakai is the name through which Hashem maintains nature, Teteva. Yud Kei Vav Kei, on the other hand, is the name of creation, higher, the source. Because Hashem is about to perform miracles, not maintain the old order, but demonstrate I am the source of all newness. And Rabbi Yitzchak covers this similarly, that the name Yud Kei Vav Kei of Yetzias Mitzrayim is showing us that Hashem breaks out of Teva and Mazel and all known order. Rabbi Yitzchak cover sees this in the symbolism of Pesach. Hashem passes over, and the words of Chazal as though jumps over the houses. The jumping motif is when one leaps, they are circumventing the normal road, the normal mahalik. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem was showing, I don't need to travel the normal road from divine source through the Hishtalshlus of Malachim and the system of Teva. No, I can jump right from the source down to you. I'm circumventing the natural cycle. And Rabbi Yitzchak Cover believes this is a fundamentally Jewish concept revealed at Yetzias Mitzrayim. That we are not subject to Mazel, a Mazel Yisrael, in the natural order. We can break out of the natural order. We are in touch with the source. And Rabbi Yitzchak Cover interprets this in the symbolism of Mila. Rabbi Yitzchak Cover understands that the Arla, the foreskin, is a barrier representing Teva. You know why? Hashem is the source. But when there is a natural Hishtalshlus, when there is a system between Hashem and the world, that means there's a barrier. That's like an Arla. And certainly a male can reproduce through his Arla and have physical intimacy through an Arla. But there's a medium, there's something in between. That is the realm of Teva, he understands, or the really Teva and Mazal is in the whole hierarchy of Malachim between Hashem and us. Hashem, the divine source, the Yahweh, the divine masculine, right? The Aver, right? The Arla means there's a barrier. He says Mila represents, it's the Osiris for Kal Yisrael to represent. We are in touch with the source, with no intermediary of Teva. Fascinating understanding when you consider how Mila represents transcending the natural world, the number eight, and the notion that we connect to a meta-natural world. Well, he's saying because Mila represents how there's really no nature, we are right in touch with the source of Ein Mazal Yisrael. Powerful from this perspective to consider that the time of Avraham Avinu's Bris Mila, really the aftermath of his Bris Mila on day three, when Avraham Avinu was sitting Kechom Hayom in the powerful sun, Chazal say, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Min Artika. Hashem took out the sun from its casing. Was it an ozone layer or some other casing? Right? So, you understand in light of everything we've developed thus far tonight, the fact that Hashem in his source is akin to the Zohar, right? Radiating through the sun, the Zohar, right? To be received by the Levana, by the Nekeva, that Nantuk would really be very similar to the Arab, to the world of Teva, the barrier between the divine resplendence and that which has been the Kabbalah, the Levana, both the Levana and humans who are compared to the Levana in our renewal of redemption. So the Mila was powerfully symbolized, I would be suggesting, based on the previous guys of Chavra, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing all cases from the sun, all Teva. There's direct divine radiance. That is the theme of Mila, by extension, the theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is so powerfully linked to Mila. Right? It goes without saying that Mila is writ large all over Yetzias Mitzrayim. From the statement of Chazal that the Shebet started at the time following Nisas Yosef, when Yosef died, when we assimilated, we wanted to resemble the Mitzrah by dispensing with Bris Mila, to the pendulum shift of Geula through Bris Mila, we were redeemed in the merit of Bris Mila. Not only was Bris Mila a prerequisite for Karban Pesach, Arul Yochel, but it was one of the merits of redemption, Rashi says. At Yom Sof again, the Yom Sof split on the merit of Mila Chazal say, which is the source of the Yafish of Minha get a bris to recite as Yashir, the Shiva Sayyat. But to the very cogent realization that on Moshe Rabbeinu's redemptive trip down to Mitzrayim, he was impeded by what? And almost fell by the Mal Hamavas when he was derelict at Mal and his son, until Tzipor intervened on Mal the baby, and thus assured the destiny of the Redeemer and by extension the redemption. That it's not a coincidence that the trajectory of redemption hangs in balance linked to Bris Mila. Bris Mila is thematic to redemption itself, and there are many, many aspects to that Mila-Geula correlation. I develop a different dimension in my sefer. I'm suggesting tonight, in the context of our work so far, appreciating Mila as the breakdown of Teva, the notion that we are in touch with the creative source and how that imbues us with a power of self-redemption. Don't be restricted by what you believe your natural order to be. Don't feel stuck, which now takes us, really brings us to a whole deeper dimension of understanding of Para. And what is so sinister about Para? What makes him such a tyrant? Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava writes that while all of the ancients were mazel conscious, Paro was mazel obsessed. The way he terms it, the mazel of Mitzrayim is the primal mazel. Right? Where is Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava coming from? I believe he's coming from this pervasive focus we find throughout Chazal on Atzdai, Bine Paro. Again and again, Paro is consulting the astrologers. Tens of times in Chazal. Paro is obsessed with astrology and mazel. You know what the deeper meaning there is? Paro, the representative tyrant, embraces mazel. You know why? Mazel is the notion. You are stuck. You are stuck. The way you're born defines you. The caste you're born in defines you. The characteristics of your DNA define you. You are stuck. And it is no less sinister than the whipping and the torture to impress upon your subjects Mazel. You are stuck. That is the ultimate of anti-cheres, the ultimate of Paro HaRasha. And it's not a coincidence that Paro on Mitzrayim worship Tzlat, the Mazel of Nisan. The great showdown between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim is going to be concerning the Mazel of this month. And perhaps it's particularly significant the Mazel Tzlat, the lamb, the zodiac sign of lamb which they worship. A lamb is humble, and a lamb is kind of docile, lowly. The Yiddish expression little shefela might sound endearing, but it's actually very demeaning in my opinion. Now you're just a little lamb, right? I believe the Mazel Tov of Mitzrayim is a brilliant articulation of the subjecting to people to lowliness. I can't help but think in modern times, when certain demagogues who tell people born on the other side of the tracks, you're here and you're here to stay, right? Oh yeah, you'll have some sugar daddy who will bail you out, but you're stuck here, right? And how profoundly demeaning that is to the entire human condition. You're stuck in your mazel. And you don't have resilience in you to rise above. This is mazel tov, this is paro harasha, this is the anti-cheres force. And I would like to posit as well, one of the particular expressions of Paro's belief in Mazel, which is when he says, "Ruuki ra neged pneichem," ha ha ha, Jewish people, you're not going to make it out because I see in the stars there's a red star, Mazel Mandim, which spells blood and destruction and havoc, which is going to greet you, right? Let's understand this is more than some occult belief in a star called Mandim, but it's an articulation of his entire philosophy. The notion that you are doomed because of a mazel. And you're specifically doomed when you think you're stepping out into freedom. Right? You are doomed. You are doomed by forces of negativity. And don't think this is a superstitious belief in the past and those who believe in the all cuts of superstition. There are neurologists today who believe that in predeterminism, right? That basically, we are all born with a certain neurological structure which defines us and our behavior. The neurons in my brain dictate basically the way I'm going to behave. I don't really have control of that. And basically, it relegates the person to an organism within the great evolutionary machine. Let's understand what is so horrific about this belief. It's not simply the theological kfirah and denying bechira, but what that does to me as a person on a human level. Let's understand, it's really paro harasha, right? Cloaked in modern garb. Fatalism. You are stuck. You are stuck, and chiras is impossible. How powerful from this perspective that the Karban Pesach slaughtering the Mazel of Tlah. Let's understand the rejection of Mazel and the Mazel of Tlah, the Mazel of lowliness. It's dispensing with all of that in our belief in Chiddush and Geula. We are not stuck at all and never believe you're stuck. And I'm going to likewise suggest when we return to Ru'uki Ra Neged Pneicha, Paro's suggestion or assertion, cruel assertion, sinister assertion, that you are subject in your attempt to break free. You are stifled by the red mazel called Mazel. Well, how is that reframed? So as Moshe later introduces in his tefillah after Ego, Lama Yom Mitzrayim Berahu Tziyah, Rashi citing the Medrash explains that Moshe was saying, you can't let this happen. You can't let Paro believe that the Mazel Matan is going to stifle our Geula. So what does Hashem do? Hashem says that Mazel Tlat is going to represent Bris Milah. Then on our way into Eretz Yisrael, there will be some blood. Some Atavastan Bris, right? Some blood of Milah. Let's understand this is so much more than a cutesy cosmic shift, okay? You got blood, I'll make positive blood. Let's understand the depth of what Chazal said. If according to Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, Mila represents a breaking out of Teva and Masa. Right? Hashem is saying, in your very assertion, Paru, that they're doomed, I am going to show in Masa and Yisrael that it is not doomed. And let me explain even deeper than that. The symbolism of the Dami, specifically. Mila is somewhat painful. There is a wounding there. But it is a wounding of a process of elevation, of growth. Much more than simply a worthwhile pain for the game, right? Mila is the child's assumption of sanctity, of purpose, at formative stage as a baby, which is really impressive upon the child. When a yid has difficulties in life, those difficulties ultimately become catapults for growth. If that damila is mazal madam, the koach hara, when you have your skirmish with koach hara, your struggles in life, and we each are thinking deeply right now, that very deep personal space, those sort of difficulties we're left with in our lonely fight in life, for which no one else can really intervene, well meaning as they are, right? What determines if I am victim or victor is whether I stare down Mada and I say, Mada is really a Tamila. All struggles in life are really going to become my refining experience, my Mila. I am not deflated and struck down through the Koach Hara in life. I am elevated by it. I find reservoirs of resilience. I become all the holier person to come to. And that is the greatest redemption over all the pottery times you seem to understand. Let's continue to trace how motifs of Pesach and Chodesh Nisan so elegantly weave around this theme of redemption and rebirth and not being subject to fatalism and predetermination. One of the major motifs of the season is blossoming and youth. It's Chag HaAviv. There's fertility again. The greenery returns. The feeling of birth and possibility is in the air. As Shir HaShirim describes the season, Hanitzim Niru Ba'aretz. The birds are chirping, the call of Tarnish Ma'abaret. Say no. Clearly that dovetails, pun fully intended, the birds chirping, with all of the birth and youth of the season, the Datul Vincha engaging the children, the national birth of Klal Yisrael of Yitzias Mitzrayim, referred to Yitzias Mitzrayim is called by the Navi Yom HaLetz Osach. B'ni B'chori Yisrael, we are Hashem's children. Right back in the good old days. Rabbi Avraham, when you were a child, if someone would start up, when you were a child, yeah? If someone would try to pick on a kid, how would a good father respond back in the day? Would they respond diplomatically?
No. My father would threaten
kids. There you go.
Within an inch.
You start, dare lay a finger on my kid. Mm. Right? What am I going to do to your kid? Well, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's path. He said, B'ni B'chor Yisrael, go tell Paro. The Jewish people are my B'char. Lay a finger on my B'char. I'm going to knock out your B'char. And that's a true protector. So here we have so many motifs of youth, birth, vulnerability, protection. On one level, birth, youth, blossoming, vulnerability has so much to do with opportunity and freedom. A child has hope. A child believes anything is possible. The world is open up. It's only as an adult we become jaded as adults. So many dashed dreams, so much baggage. Not, we develop a certain burdened supposed realism. We don't have that stride in the step of youth, which Klal Yisrael has the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zakarti l'chesen n'urayach. The love of youth. The love of youth when we follow after Hashem into the desert. And we do something rash and irresponsible. Someone follows a lover into a situation which you don't know how you're going to make it. Totally irresponsible, but a youth is more concerned with quixotic romance, just the season of Shir HaShirim, than with heavy responsibility, right? It's all the meat of youth. It's the opposite of realism. And as adults, we need a heavy dose of realism, but the problem is when we totally lose the hope of youth, right? Now we walk around with a sense of heaviness. This whole season is about the hope of youth, Chiddush. And let's begin to understand how Paro's entire crusade against the Jewish baby, as I develop in my sefer. How the entire Shemitah Tzeraim is about reducing population growth, part of Vayishu Tzuvayir, but even infanticide, killing babies outright. Entire to be or not to be questioned in Mitzrayim is the baby. Let's understand an entire new dimension emerging tonight. How Paro the tyrant is declaring war on Jewish babyhood, on Jewish youth. Because Jewish youth, which we have whatever age we are, therein lies hope, therein lies the possibility of chaos, that things are possible, and therefore a Jew never loses hope. And this interweaves with the breaking of nature, Rabbi Yitzchak Chavar's perspective on HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumping, though it were at the time of Pesach, jumping over natural barriers. Let's think about from that perspective how the Kabbalah for all time is envisioned through a jumping motif in Shir Hashem with Dalit al Ahar and the power of that motif. And Nachshon Ben Ami, another jumping into the Yamsaf. Right? Let's understand how this jumping, the jumping is inherently youthful. Children jump, literally, right? All over the place, hopping and jumping. And adults walk gingerly. And on Pesach, all of us jaded adults who walk through life a bit too gingerly and feel jaded, we learn about the opening of possibility. Well, I would like to take today's entire shiur and all of these interconnections, Nace, a Mazel Yisrael, youth, and show how they are, how this coalescing of motifs is interwoven into the very fabric of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, the greater saga of Yetzias Mitzrayim, begins with Bris Ben Habsarim. The Nevuah of Bris Ben Habsarim begins with Hashem promising old and fertile Avram children. That Nevuah of Bris Ben Habsarim, right, begins with Hashem telling Avram, you think you're not going to have children, hang on the side, please, Zarek, guess what? You are going to have a child, right? Vayam and Hashem, Avram Avinu believes in Hashem, right? And of course, there's a deep correlation that the Bris Ben Habsarim story is beginning with the promise of the birth of Yitzchak, which is within itself the onset of the 400 years of Gaul's Gaul's Mitzrayim. Geri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem Avadim, you know, some of the 400 years of Gaul's Mitzrayim, which Chazal see really emerges directly from that text. Geri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, and an ongoing Bris Ben Habsarim of was said specifically in the context of the promise of Leidas Yitzchak. Well, I want to understand something, that I want to trace something with you in that story, introducing Yetzias Mitzrayim. How does Hashem impress upon Avram this impossible dream he's going to have children? Vayotzio so hachutza, vayomer habeitna hashamayma, right, re'eas hakochav. He takes them out and he says, look at the stars, which Chazal interpreted to mean he raised him from the galaxy of Mazalos. Avram ain molad ban, but Avraham will ain mazal Yisrael. He impresses upon him the birth of children in this onset story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, specifically through Ein Mazel Yisrael. So here we have Ein Mazel Yisrael, the onset of a tremendous nace, supernatural, and also the theme of youth, childbearing, and not only childbearing, Avram and Sarah themselves, their old bodies, which develop the fertility of youth here. Here we have all of the themes of tonight's year. Nisan, Ein Mazel Yisrael, and youth, woven into the very fabric of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because this is really what the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. Geula and the ability to find personal redemption rises in this collating of themes and motifs. And let's understand another thing, another powerful correlation between that story, the promise of children of Bris Ben Habsarim, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which follows. Hashem tells the pasuk says about Avram in that story, by Yamin Vashem, he believes in Hashem. That is the very first time the word Amun appears in Chumash. When's the next time the word Amun appears in Chumash? Now, Amun is a big word in English, right? Well, how many times does it appear in Torah? Not as many times as you think. It first appears concerning the Avraham by Yam and Bashem here in the Brisbane of Sarim story regarding the promise of children. When is the next time the phrase Amun appears? In Mitzrayim, by Yam Behemli. I mean, we know by Yam and Ha'am. Clearly noticing this correlation between Avram's Amunah and Klal Yisrael's, the Gemara comment that Hashem told Moshe, you think in Mitzrayim Hengli Yaminu be? B'nai Yisrael are Maminim, B'nai Maminim, because it says concerning Avram, Vayam and Bashem, and Chazal cite that very verse concerning Avram. Do you notice how Chazal are picking up on my linkage? The Amunah which we have in Mitzrayim is based on the Amunah which Avram had in the promise of children. Well, I'm going to argue that correlated Amunah, the Amunah which we developed in Mitzrayim, is girded in the Amunah Avram had specifically the promise of children. That is because our Amunah is an Amunah based on the promise of youth, the promise of Ein Mazal Yisrael, which Avram first experienced in that prophecy. I am not stuck, and I can develop youthfulness despite an aged body close to 100 years old. Really, this entire theme of youth, the manashtana at the Seder, the child asks, the child is inquisitive. The child doesn't take things for granted, possibilities are open. This entire idea is very Avramic in nature. When we consider how Avram is the Av of Yetzias Mitzrayim, three regalim connected to the three Avos, Pesach is connected to Avram Avinu. Avram and youth. Avram is the fountain of youth. Not only in terms of the singular miracle of searing a child when he is so old and Sarai Aminu carrying a child despite her aged body, but when we consider the mission at the end of Kiddushin, which says the notion of Od Yenuchum B'Seiva, vitality in old age, is darshan from Avram Avinu V'Avram Zakim Baba Yamim Hashem Be'erachas Avram Bakal. The fact that Avram is blessed in old age, the fact that Avram is not debilitated in old age, is not walking around and, what could I say? I think of that Yiddish, visceral Yiddish articulation. Only Yiddish could express it. A person who's not only aged in years, but has the whole bearings that just falling apart, and they call him an Iska Klapta Hishan. He's like the beat up Hishan. And too many people in their 20s I see walking around with Iska Klapta. Oh, come on. Life is so bad. Like, come on. And, you know, I try to keep my distance. There are so many stimulations just to drag us down, right? If we could all be somewhat of an infusion, right? Bring a little green into that Hishan at least, a little vitality, a little, right? So Avram is receiving the power of that pasuk. He's zaken baba yamim, v'hashem beirach. He's receiving bracha, right? And that's why the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah is saying, vitality in old age. I'm going to argue even the words baba yamim, coming in age. When you consider we studied in the past the word ba versus the word lech, coming means really coming home, right? Ba means you're coming back, right, to a place of origin. Halicha go means you're leaving a place of origin, right? You come home, you go to school. Most of us have a home feeling when we're coming home, when we're going to school, on the other hand, well, it is what it is, right? The term be a coming, always connotes a return to source. This is why the very word ba, beis av. Beis returning to the av, it's the inverse of av, which is av, the source producing a child. Here it's ba, it's the derivative coming back home. That's the reason why marital intimacy is called bia. Another term could have been used to describe that there's a sense of coming back to a source, bias, homeliness, homecoming. Avram in old age is not deteriorating away from his source. He's coming back to his source. And he is drawing once again from that fountain of youth and finding new expressions of his youthful source in old age. The Avram and youth correlation is extremely deep. So much so that the Gemara Bava Kama Tzadi Zayin Mabez tells us that Avram minted a coin upon which it said Zaken is king and Tzadach Abachat Asul and Tzadach, old man, old woman on one side, young man, young woman on the other side. which according to the Mashal reflects the fact that even in old age, they were youthful, they produced a child. Here we have the physical image, an iconicizing of Avram in that coin. Old in years, young in spirit, young in possibility. This is why he is the Avram Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parenthetically, I'll note really a brilliant observation for Tzadik. Tzadik says, when is it that Avram Avinu developed youthful old age? When he bore a child at age 100? Well, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Parak Samachay Pasuk Chaf, speaking about the greater life expectancy at the time of Achras Hayam. It says, Ki Hanar Ben Me'ashana, the 100-year-olds will be youthful. That must be an uncanny reference to Avram, who in 100 had Nairus. Rav Tzadik develops this in terms of the divine day or unit of time is 1,000 years. That says from a divine perspective, 100 to 1,000 is kind of what you need in 10 to 100, a 10%. So when you have the divine perspective of Geula, suddenly 100-year-old is like a 10-year-old again. Right? Brilliant points from a colossally brilliant Jewish thinker. Avram Avinu is youth personified, and that's why his whole youth and old age is materializing in such a systematic way. 100, like your 10, to represent this whole idea. That's why Avram lived his entire life, let's understand. Avram is Tchilo Legeirim, he's the first getter. Avram has the greatest hischadus metamorphosis from heathen into mayim. Right? Avram is never governed by limitations of circumstance. Those paros of old and paros of today who wag a finger on the kid born on the other side of the tracks, right? Not born into the Shiva pedigree. Well, right, Avram is not swayed by those evil fatalistic paros, right? And throughout his life, the marathon of Nisyonos, as he ages, Avram is continuing to grow. Avram does not know debilitation because Avram is the Av of Yetzias Mitzrayim, who teaches us this chadshus, newness, inquisitiveness. We've studied in the past how Avram's question of Bama Edom, he questions the divine. In the Brisbane Absar informative story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he's really laying the seed for the entire notion of asking questions. Because the term ma appears in Seder questioning. Ma ha odazos, ma ha edus, ma nishtana, pesach ma tzuzu shalom al shema, and we question the divine. Avram questions the divine. The notion of questioning is all about not accepting givens. It's a certain youthful inquisitiveness, right? This is Avram. This is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the story of personal redemption and the coalescing of themes here. It's really the antithesis of everything which is conveyed in the very horrible English expression, over the hill. Think about that expression a moment, which kind of rolls off our tongue in slang. It is so demeaning. It's pithy. What it's basically saying is, when a person's at a certain age and a certain stage, over the hill, so now you're plateauic. Over the hill. Now, you're not going uphill, you're plateauic. It's so insulting. And even if they believe in plateauing, the person is thriving. They're sitting on a fat bank account and drinking pink lemonade, convalescing. It is so insulting. The notion the person's not growing and taking on challenges and just plateauing, that's what they mean when they say over there. So when you're going up the hill, you're walking up against gravity. So you're huffing and puffing. That might be difficult, but you're growing, right? I'm going to argue when a person is so-called plateauing, one is then relegating a person basically to the role of invalid. It is so profoundly demeaning and un-Yiddisha and un-Avramic and un-Geulitic, right? There's a lot more to be said, and I look forward to a phase two, but as I shot in this year, the overarching idea which I want to develop tonight. In terms of the way we wove our cohesive tapestry, how the Chiddush Harabana and newness means we are not stuck. There is no fatalism. If I could put it to you this way, Rosh Hashanah is a time of tshuva, midas hadin. When we say, I can return to something, tshuva, but I can only return to something that exists already. Hear that in tshuva. Magnificent as tshuva is, tshuva, because it's from a midas hadin perspective, din is really teva, nature, rules, regulations, structure. It means that yes, you could progress, but you could only progress by reattaching yourself to a party. I am going to argue the other end of the year. Nisa, on the other hand, is in a sense of even deeper than tshuva. You don't need to simply return to something you were already. You can even discover about yourself. You can discover about yourself. You can be reborn. And let's think all of us who have a very strong sense of identity, positively and negatively, parts of all of us that we don't want to dispense with. But I'm going to argue these parts of self which need not define me. And in those respects, we refuse to accept the role of influence. I will find personal redemption in this month of Hischachas. Remus, Teferis, Tamus, Tevata, Jain, Nasid, Moschadish, Kamosa. May all of us, in fighting the good fight, have the courage to change the much which we can't change. And I'm asserting tonight that serenity prayer, in terms of how much is to accept what I can't change and how much is the courage to change what I can, I'm going to argue, while that balance is true, there is a lot more on the side of the courage to change that I'm capable of than I think, than all of us think is really possible. May we all be zochet to this Hischachas and thereby find personal redemption in this wonderful Chodesh of Geula. Amen. Kein yehi ratzon.